Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. Hey, you're back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, you know, this COVID virus is just very, very complex. It's very confusing. It's not really following some typical predictable patterns, which is why I don't trust it farther than I could throw it. But sadly, we are seeing a now shift in who's getting infected. And apparently COVID-19 cases in children have surged about 84% in the last week. Apparently 72,000 kids have now tested positive for the virus, which is up 84%. Now, this is according to a new study from the American Academy of Pediatrics. They say the new infections were recorded in the 7 days leading up to July 29th, up from 39,000 the week before. The AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, said it had teamed up with Children's Hospitals of America to help collect and share data about pediatric cases of the virus, which have only been about 14.3% of the total cumulative cases thus far. Apparently, that share rose to 19% for the week ending July 29th. Since the pandemic began, 4.2 million children have tested positive for the virus. I have some thoughts on that. So, according to specialists out there, such as Dr. Yvonne Maldonado, chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases of the Department of Pediatrics at Stanford Medicine and the chair of the AAP, she said that's high, and considering the fact that we are vaccinated now, what that's telling us is that unvaccinated people are getting infected in higher numbers because the virus is more infectious with the Delta variant. She said, our sense is because kids can't get vaccinated, parents should clearly be vaccinated themselves, and if their kids are 12 and older, they should be vaccinated as well. Now, obviously, people are concerned, public health officials are concerned, parents are concerned, because kids are supposed to be going back to school. There's a lot of debate on mask bans, and we're being told that a vaccine for children may not be available yet because they have to, you know, still undergo the studies. We're able to vaccinate with the Pfizer vaccine, teenagers, but we still don't have grade school, middle school vaccinations available. So I'm thinking a few things are going on here, because a question I had was, why weren't kids infected the first time around last year or earlier in the year? So what we're being told is, well, the Delta variant is more infectious. All right, but to be more kid-specific? I mean, you could be more infectious, but, you know, what exactly was the mutation that caused it to affect an 8-year-old now, whereas it didn't affect an 8-year-old to the same degree a year ago? The spike protein mutation? All right, let's look at that. Another thing that's also intriguing is that are we testing kids now? We weren't really testing a lot of kids last year. One, kids didn't want to get the test. Now we could do the spit test, we could do some easier tests, but we didn't test a lot of kids back then. So when we originally were told the schools have to close because kids can carry the virus and spread the virus, and many people thought, well, you know, that was poppycock, and we're not going to subject the kids to tests. And I get that. But maybe the kids always had it. And we're just now testing kids because kids are going back to school. But the thing that I'm really worried about is, did we keep kids in a bubble for so long that, yeah, they're going to get COVID? I mean, we had kids out of school. We had kids away from other kids. We stopped their Girl Scouts, their Boy Scouts, their key clubs, their prom, their football practice, their soccer practice, their ballet lessons. We stopped all that. I don't even know if the YMCA was still open. After school groups, clubs, you know, play dates. So all of a sudden, we bring kids back. They start going back to birthday parties. They get sick. Now, this is the summer. So if a child is coughing and sneezing in the winter, with my telemedicine patients, they were not, parents weren't having it, going, I'm not going to test them for COVID. Well, now that a child is having a cold and a fever, parents want to know what the heck is going on, because it's the dead of summer. Well, so they're going to get tested. So, you know, these cases that we're seeing, you know, how many were severe enough for death? Well, according to the study, children were 0 to 0.26% of all COVID-19 deaths, and 7 states reported 0 child deaths among data from 43 states. Now, that would be consistent with what we saw last year. They say in total, 526 children have died from the virus. It's 526 too many, according to the CDC, and 10.9 million of about 25 million children, aged 12 and 17, have been vaccinated with at least one dose of a vaccine. So we have about 75 million children in the United States. So 10.9 million of the 25 million in that particular age group means, yeah, we're nowhere near the herd immunity. And if children are, you know, are not being vaccinated to the same degree, you know, again, people probably should stop blaming Republicans for the unvaccinated, because your 8-year-old can't get a vaccine. Less than half of your 12 to 17-year-old got the vaccine. So, you know, we aren't really vaccinating kids to the degree that we did the adults. And I get that. Parents are concerned. There's a lot of hesitancy. That might change once the FDA actually officially approves it. But Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says the odds are high that we will have a vaccine soon for children under 12 that will be available during the next school year. So currently, the CDC guidance is all students, teachers, staff need to remain masked when school resumes this fall. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
This report is sponsored by IBM. You may know that Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's disease, but did you know that this condition affects more than an estimated 6 million people globally? In 2000, Fox launched the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and over the past few years, the foundation has been working with IBM researchers to accelerate the discovery of critical information about Parkinson's disease. And now, this collaboration has reached a significant milestone. IBM Director AI for Healthcare Jianying Hu explains.
In our latest work, we demonstrate a new AI model that identifies typical symptom patterns of Parkinson's disease. The model also characterizes the progression of these symptoms in timing and severity. Hopefully, by using machine learning, clinicians and researchers could have a new tool to better assess and predict the varying progression of symptoms in Parkinson's patients. They can then better manage and treat the disease, as well as identify the best candidates for more targeted and more effective clinical trials.
For more, visit ibm.com/research.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are, you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making this show happen. Big thanks to my producer, Daniel, who's working the dial. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so looks like there's a lot of, shall we say, concern, and some people are a little skeptical about sending their kids back to school. Other parents, they're just ready. They're like, see ya, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I cannot wait. I've already packed my kids' lunches. Not that they need me to do that, and even though they're probably going to rot in the fridge by the time school does start. But this month school starts, so I'm like, see ya, get the hell out of the house. I'm done with you guys eating the fridge. I'm tired of you being pains in the butt. Go, move out, do whatever. Mama's got work to do. I want to get on with our lives. But we do have some parents out there that are a little freaked out about their kids going back to school and about having being exposed to COVID. So as we just discussed in the segment before, we are seeing a huge uptick in pediatric COVID cases. We don't necessarily have a vaccine currently now for under the age group. The Pfizer vaccine is available for those 12 years on up. Moderna 18 on up, Johnson & Johnson 18 on up, and they all are asking for full approval by the fall, by, I think, the winter. But you're 8 years old, you're 10 years old, might not get it. So parents that are freaking out, I have been asked, how do kids get a waiver to get out of school? So let's answer some of those questions. So if you're a parent and you do not want your kid to go to school, that's going to be up between you and the health department and probably your physician. So some schools, they're like all hands on deck. All right, we're going back to the year 2019 and everybody's back at school. If a child needs a sick day, we'll do that. If they need accommodations, we'll do that, but all kids back at school. Others are still allowing some sort of a hybrid, where those who still want homeschool, there might be one teacher assigned to do some one-on-one lessons, but I'm not exactly sure how that's going to turn out. So you're going to obviously have to, if you do have concerns, just talk to the school and see what options there are. I do advise against keeping children away from other children because for much longer, because I really think it does hurt their development. If my children were just around me all day, that'd be pretty messed up. You know, I mean, I sing stupid songs. I talk to the cats. I talk to myself. I talk to myself all the time because nobody else wants to talk to me, right? I'm just always talking. So, I mean, the kids need to be around other people. You know, it's interesting. You see kids that grow up in single families, and they do well. They're very mature. But you see a difference between those that were never around kids, even, you know, with school and things like that, versus those that were very active in either Mommy and Me groups or play dates or things like that. So, I mean, even if you're an only child, usually parents will still give you access to a lot of other kids. But those that just don't, and there is a difference I've noticed in kids that the parents were very protective, helicoptered, kind of didn't want them getting sick. I just see a difference. And I can't really pinpoint what the difference is, but I think there is a little bit of social pliability, social flexibility that might be lacking. And I think those things are crucial, crucial for a child's development. So, you know, the longer we keep the kids away from school, the worse. One thing, though, I want to tell parents, all right, and there's many of you that are a little freaked out and hesitant about your kids going back to school. All right, one thing I want to tell you is there's a good chance your kid had COVID last year. You know, we're looking at these numbers going up and, you know, people concerned about, wait, how the heck did numbers go up? What, we're at like 84% new cases in kids. Why now? Well, because we're testing the kids. If we didn't test the kids in early 2020 and in 2021, then how do we know? We didn't test the kids because in early 2020, we didn't have enough test kits. We weren't even testing adults. Finally, we started to test adults. So when you see the cases rise on these graphs, they rise by the spring, summer of 2020. So you're like, well, I thought things were really, really bad early on. Well, remember, we didn't have the test kits. So many parents think, well, gosh, you know, now my kid has the potential to get COVID. Your kid was probably exposed last year, just nobody tested them. Now we're testing. And as I said last segment, there's easier ways to test. We're not necessarily shoving applying an applicator up in their nose. There's some spit tests. There's just some vestibule swabs. So there's other things we're doing. There's a family I know where everybody's been vaccinated, even the teenagers, and two of the family members came down with COVID. I mean, there's breakthrough cases. But now that we're testing, we're getting more accurate numbers. So when you hear 84% rise in cases, that doesn't surprise me too much because now we're testing kids. But as I said before, I'm worried about the bubble. If you are worried about your child getting COVID, we need to take a step back and go, were they in a bubble for the last 16 months? We knew and we predicted that the second the kids came out of their bubble and they would start going to birthday parties and they would be around other kids, would start seeing them get sick. That's why we're seeing RSV cases now, we usually don't see RSV in kids during the summer. We see it more so during the winter. We're seeing it now in the summer. Why? Well, because the kids have been away from the bugs. The bugs are still there. The bugs are waiting. You're not going to have a sterile environment outside or in a classroom or at a restaurant. So these kids whose immune systems might not have been challenged to that degree, boom, now all of a sudden are around all these bugs. So if you want to protect your kid from COVID, number one is, all right, well, don't have COVID in the house. How do you not have COVID in the house? Well, get yourself vaccinated. I mean, is a start. You could still have COVID in the house. I mean, because vaccinated individuals could take it. But maybe you'll have less active coughing and sneezing and diarrhea COVID if you don't get sick from COVID. So I think being vaccinated will help. It's not going to make the house sterile. Number two is when these kids are at school. Now, I mean, teach your kid about proper hand washing. Tell your kid that if they're going to have to wear a mask, not to keep bringing it up and down. If the kid can't breathe, then you might have to talk to your doctor about an accommodation. But tell the kids not to touch their face. Teach your kids not to pick their nose. They could blow their nose if they think they have a boogie in there, but just not to pick their nose. Not to share utensils. The schools are already planning to do an amazing job to try to limit people putting their mouth on the water faucet. You know, the water. Remember people would try to drink from the water fountain and they'd have their tongue out and they'd put their mouth on the spout? And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? You just put your mouth, the water's supposed to come out and you just touch the water to your lips and nobody, what the heck are you doing? So people in my schools were stupid. But already the schools are taking that into account. They'll have the mask, they'll have the social distancing, but, you know, I don't think you're going to be able to keep your kid away from COVID because now that we know that vaccinated individuals have been carrying it the whole time, your kid has probably been exposed. You could do an antibody test. I don't know if I would subject the kids to that because it's a blood test. But if you as a parent are really that worried and you don't want your kid to get COVID and you feel guilty sending your kid to school and possibly subjecting to them, you might actually feel better and take some of that weight off your shoulders knowing your kid might already have antibodies and might have already been exposed. I really wouldn't, though, force any kids to do a blood test. But I'm just listing that as another option if you're that concerned. And mind you, I get it. I'm a parent. And my kids have already challenged me on if I'm making the right decision for them to have gotten the vaccine. You know, and I get nervous. I don't want to be wrong as a parent. But with the information I had, I made the best decision I could. My father-in-law would always tell my husband this. You know, all you can do is use the information in front of you that you have and make the best decision possible. Well, the information we have is the vaccine seems to be still keeping people out of the hospital to a better degree than unvaccinated. People are still being hospitalized. Right? Masks aren't that effective against the virus, but provide a little barrier. If your kid can have access to an N95 respirator, even better. We also know that a kid's immune system is constantly challenged to build up immunity. So, you know, hopefully they have been challenged before and have antibodies. But, you know, we also know that this virus is weird and it could last longer than it needs to in the human body. So, you know, this is going to be a discussion for you and your child's provider in school if you're that concerned about the kid going back to school. A vaccine is supposed to be coming up this school year, according to the Surgeon General, for younger kids. 1-877-DOCTOR.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at Wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with longevity. Teamgaday.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
More data on Wednesday that the slowing of workers in America is weighing down the labor market. Payroll processor ADP said on Wednesday that private employers in the United States added only 330,000 jobs in July. That number was way short of expectations. A wind-driven wildfire tore through a northern Sierra Nevada town of Greenville, California overnight, leaving much of the downtown area in ashes as crews brace for more destruction Thursday. The Dixie Fire, aided by bone-dry vegetation and 40-mile-an-hour winds, burned down a gas station, hotel, and many structures in Greenville, which dates to California's Gold Rush era and has some buildings more than a century old. Throngs of bikers are rumbling their way toward South Dakota's Black Hills this week for the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. 700,000 people are expected to show up in Sturgis. That's about 30 minutes northwest of Rapid City, South Dakota. USA Radio News. How much are you willing to give up if your employer allowed you to work from home after the pandemic? Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau explains.
The new survey shows that American workers would be willing to give up a little of their paycheck to keep working from the home office. The poll from insurance provider Breeze showed that 65% of respondents would be willing to take a 5% pay cut to work from home full-time, with 15% saying they'd be willing to take a cut as large as 25%. A majority of respondents said that given the option, they'd be willing to part with paid time off if given the option to work from home full-time.
86 New York State Assembly lawmakers said publicly they would support starting the process of impeaching Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo if he decides not to resign. An independent inquiry this week announced proof that the governor had sexually harassed at least 11 women. An impeachment trial can be authorized if a majority of lawmakers support the motion. 76 votes are required for the Assembly to send the articles of impeachment to the New York State Senate. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So the Senate's $1 trillion infrastructure bill is going to have some things that I didn't know. Apparently, when you have a 2,700-page bill, it is going to be a surprise on what some of the things are included, I guess. And I guess the rollout is going to be on the shoulders of the different departments for which the funding is going to go to. And one such funding allocation is going to be going to the Department of Transportation and the Secretary of Transportation to mandate alcohol detection systems in all new cars by 2027. Additionally, there's going to be an alert system for drivers who leave their children in the back seat when the car is off to prevent car deaths. Now, this absolutely blows my mind that we have to have, you know, these sort of additions added. But I guess we have parents who are stupid, and they leave their kids in the car. I don't like to call people stupid, but anybody who forgets about a child and kills them by leaving them in a car is more than stupid. It's criminal. So, there's also a provision encouraging the trucking industry to pursue every opportunity to encourage female truckers. Oh, I love truckers. I love truckers. And you know what? Female truckers, they're a hoot. Yeah. You know. Didn't we one day do a segment on trucker language? And I think there were terms for police and female truckers. I think they used the term beaver. I don't know if that's appropriate anymore. But there were all these terms being used for to kind of designate. Like, I don't understand why people need to be warned that there's a female driver. Really, people? I've seen men drive like crap. So don't be telling me that we females are bad drivers. Anyway, so they say that there is research that female truckers have better crash records than men. Now, that doesn't mean they crash, you know, better. What it means is they seem to have less crashes than men. Now, that could also be maybe there's more male drivers. You know, when my husband and I go out, he drives. Now, I like to drive. I love to drive. So every now and then, I'll say, you know what, I'll get the car started. So I get the car started. I pull it out of the driveway. I'm ready. He walks over and he tries to displace me from the driver's side. I'm like, nope, I'm driving. And, you know, he's like, okay. And, you know, you see, he kind of looks all, you know, well, gosh, you know, is this going to look okay, you know, that a woman is driving a man? I'm like, it's fine. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he kind of has that look about him. And I'm like, come on. It's fine. I can drive. The funny thing is, it's interesting. When you're on the passenger side, you almost feel and see more than when you drive. And I notice I'm more nervous. And he's like, gosh, you always tell me a car's over here, a car's over here. And I go, because when you're not on the driver's seat and you're not in control, it really is more nerve-wracking when I think you're not seeing this car coming from the right. Well, he does the same thing. When he's in the passenger side, he's like, be careful, do this, be careful, be careful. And I'm like, you see, you do it too. I say more women, if they're married to men, should drive and let their husbands see what they see so they don't get blamed for being irrational. Anyway, so there's a 1.2 trillion piece of legislation that states that advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology must be standard equipment in all new passenger motor vehicles, and that vehicles should be able to prevent and limit operation if a driver is impaired. It calls for a window of 5 to 6 years for the new standard to go into effect. Expect car prices to go up as a result. Apparently, 28 people die in the U.S. every single day in drunk driving crashes. This is according to the NHTSA. One person, and I apologize, there now my computer is out. I had some statistics for you. And there we go. I don't understand what is going on with the internet these days. So, obviously, we have statistics. We have high statistics of drunk driving, and so we want to limit that. Now, the infrared structure, there's going to be, I guess, an infrared, and come on, people. I'm sorry, guys. Why isn't there infrastructure for us to have better internet and computers in the media? Maybe that's why the media sometimes is so bad, right? One person every 52 minutes. Dies, they say. They say 28 people die in the U.S. every day in drunk driving crashes. So that's one person every hour. The Driver Alcohol Detection System is a public-private partnership partially funded by the U.S. government and is currently working on two separate alcohol detection systems that would require no action from the driver. Now, this is being reported by Daily Mail. So, obviously, the last thing you want is somebody to mess with the sensor. The first is a sensor testing the air within the car, so it'll detect the driver's blood alcohol levels. The only problem with that is, what if you're driving your buddy's home? So it's going to have to distinguish that. But if I'm going to be the designated driver, and people are like, oh, die, drive me home, help me put on my seatbelt. Okay, that car's going to stink. The second is an infrared touch sensor to detect the blood individually from a person. That's going to be built in as well. And it's you touch it, it's going to be built into the steering wheel or a start button. Then there's going to be a system to alert the driver if a child or pet is left in the back seat. Apparently, the number of children dying from heat stroke rose to a record 53 per year in 2018. Are you kidding me? The alert system is supposed to hopefully go into effect as soon as possible. The driver turns off the vehicle and includes both auditory and visual components. So funding on the state and federal levels is also allocated towards educating people regarding the risks of leaving a child unattended in the passenger vehicle. And many of these parents, they don't do it on purpose. One case was, remember, a father who doesn't usually drop his kid off at daycare apparently was told by his wife, look, I need you to do this today. Take the kid to daycare on the way to work. So he gets the kid set up in the back seat. See, that's the problem with kids being in the back. I mean, I understand kids being in the back seat is safe, but this is kind of why some of this started. When my mom drove me around, I was all over the place. So I was moving. I was just all over. Well, now kids are confined, locked up. And if they're sitting behind daddy, daddy doesn't sometimes notice them, or mom. So now he drove to work. He starts driving. And you know how a lot of us, we take the wrong exit because we just have a normal, you know, we get on the road, we go about a normal day, we go to work. So basically, and I think this was a baby, so the baby might have fallen asleep, no noise. So dad drives, gets in the car, just starts driving to work, completely forgot that he put the baby in the car and was supposed to make that stop first. So out of habit, drives to work, grabs the briefcase, whatever, goes to work, baby's left in the car, and dies. So we do need to have a system in place. I do agree with that because sadly, you know, people can be stupid. By the way, women truck drivers are 20% less likely to get into a crash than male counterparts. Woo! Yay! 1-877-DOT-BELLY.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702 702- 562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So on social media, you see a lot of back and forth on what's been going on with Governor Cuomo. A lot of people are cheering and pretty happy and kind of enjoying some of the drama that's surrounding Governor Cuomo and his possible impending impeachment, inevitable impeachment. I kind of look at this differently. I think he probably needs to step down. I think he definitely needs to step down. He still is innocent until proven guilty. He does get to supply his evidence. He has to furnish his evidence, I believe, by August 13th. But I just kind of look at this whole case as very sad and disgusting and sadly, a very small piece of evidence displaying, I don't want to say small piece of evidence, a one example of the poop that goes on throughout the United States, throughout the world, every single day. And I've seen people rise to power. I've seen people become complete jerks. I've seen people abuse that power. And I'm tired of it. Whether this applies to Governor Cuomo or anybody else, this just, to me, the reason why I'm not, you know, running around doing cartwheels and all excited, because I know that there are people currently in office or currently as CEO or manager or high up in an academic institution that is persisting. And no one's doing anything about them. No one's able to, even if somebody comes forward, to even address it. And they get away with it. And so I'm still sore from him strong-arming the nursing homes. I know what it's like to be strong-armed. It sucks. And you're saying, look, I don't think it's going to work. Listen to me. This is my venue. This is my area of expertise. And a politician or somebody says, nope, you're doing it my way. And I don't know if that's verbatim what the conversation went, you know, during him and during the COVID crisis. But I could just imagine because that's what's being reported. So when the report came out from the Attorney General's investigation, and I apologize, the Lieutenant General would take over, not the Attorney General. I hope I didn't imply that before. He has now about a week to come up with his evidence. The Assembly Committee is investigating the AG report. They said that their investigation is nearing completion, which means he isn't going to be able to sit around much, you know, much longer in his seat. Its members have asked Cuomo to send them evidence he thinks is worthwhile to fight his case. Their next meeting is on Monday, and that's when they could decide to put the vote to the assembly of 150 members. A majority is needed to move it on to the next step. 86 have already said that vote to impeach. Then there would be a trial that would take place in front of the state Senate and 7 Court of Appeal judges. Now, Cuomo, no plans to stand down. He says he's innocent. Now, the committee is scheduled to meet on Monday, so that is going to be coming up pretty soon. And it's scathing, his report, because there are 11 women saying he sexually harassed them. One, and I you know, I don't want to, you know, sit here and grade, you know, the degree. You know, one was, and we talked about the awkwardness of him telling the doctor that she makes that gown look good. I've been told so much worse that didn't faze me. But it does, you know, it is another example of an inappropriate comment. And when people say, you know, why are people making a big deal about what he said to the doctor, is because one thing that a lot of people don't realize, and trust me, I am not one to cry harassment or, you know, or try to play that card. And trust me, I've been through the gamut, a whole variety of gamut of levels of harassment and assault. And I know that if you're going to wield that card, you need to use it. You need to use it carefully. And you need to be honest and all that. But what the doctor probably felt, which I completely understand, is when you are about to perform your professional task and you're being a professional, and this has happened to me so many times, and in her particular case, she's on camera and she is with the governor, and she is not only representing the state of New York, but she's representing doctors, she's representing female doctors. And to right as she is performing that professional act, the governor brings up a, you make that gown look good. It's a trip up. Now, most of us move on, and she moved on, and she was fine with, you know, she moved on. But it's one of those things I forget what movie it was. Somebody was just trying to do her job, and this guy in the, I don't know, was just dressing her down. Or, you know, objectifying her. That's the problem with it. We doctors, we professionals, don't want to be objectified, and we don't want that on camera, in public, when we're supposed to be performing something that millions of eyes are on. So, yeah, I think that counts. That's why I'm not grading it as, well, you know, that's not as bad as touching boobs. Yeah, touching somebody's boobs, that's assault. But what happened there was just completely inappropriate. And if it's one of the many things, stop that. That was unnecessary, just unnecessary. Now, if I could be really honest, do I think Governor Cuomo tried to purposely objectify her and mess with her? No, I think he was nervous. I think he was nervous that he was on camera. He was about to get a swab up in his nose. So with nervous energy, he made a joke. I get that. I've said things with nervous energy. Now, I don't think I would ever say something like that, but I could see where somebody's like, oh gosh, you know, I'm about to have an exam. Oh man, I didn't expect the doctor to be so handsome. And it might just be nervous rambling. So, I'll give him credit for, look, that's kind of nerve-wracking to have something shoved up my nose and I don't want to be gagging and flinching on camera. That was just, and you know what? Maybe that shouldn't have happened on camera. Don't do that then. Don't be on camera having something shoved all the way back through your nasopharynx. He didn't flinch, he handled it well. But I think the nervous energy caused him to say something stupid, among multiple other things. So, already 86 members of the assembly has already told the Associated Press they're going to vote to impeach him. Then the vote goes to the High Court of Impeachment, which would be made up of all the state senators and seven judges. The process could take months. In the meantime, Democrats are hoping that he will resign so he doesn't go through the prolonged process. That is going to be embarrassing for him to go through that whole thing. That's why many people do resign. And they say, look, I'm innocent, but because this is a distraction and New York has a lot on their plate, I'm going to leave. The last thing he wants to do is be found guilty of sexual harassment, especially when everybody's seen the evidence. So Kathy Hochul, the lieutenant governor, will replace Cuomo if he is impeached or resigns first. We'll talk more about her later. 1-877-DOCTOR-DOLLY, don't go away.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to Nobilift lithium-ion-powered forklifts. With a Nobilift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a five-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. Nobilift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobiliftNA.com/save.